Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back on a Monday. Appreciate you waking up with us. She's Jill Semester. I'm Michael Jenkins. Coming up on the show, the Nittany Lions watch their season go from bad to worse, and James Franklin pays the price for it. Almost wrote the ultimate price. I was like, well, he didn't die, so I won't put that in. The ultimate price. They killed him.
He paid the ultimate price.
Man, I almost paid the ultimate price on Saturday. I told you I had a big college football weekend coming up. 8 hours at the sports bar. Whew. Made it. It was a little dicey there at the end. I got there when it opened. So I walked in, sat down, got the seat we always like to get, had some friends coming. By the end, we had a group of like 8 or 9 people. It's a nice cross-section of fans, mostly Texas fans, some Ohio State fans as well. But got there at 11:30 and then got settled in, had a Bloody Mary, got to watch Illinois, Ohio State, Missouri, Alabama. Who else did I watch? It was a pretty good game. I forget. I was just all leading up to Texas, taking on Oklahoma, got the dub there. That last hour was a little dicey, but I actually did something I don't normally do, which is make myself eat. I'm not good at eating while I'm having drinks. I'm like, I'll just eat late, which is a really dumb thing to do. This time, I actually had some sustenance. So all in all, a very good day, especially when you close it out with a dub.
Wow, that discipline. You know, what they always say about the people who are the first ones there and the last ones to leave. Those are the guys that show the true leadership at the bar.
I was good. Yes, I was good. Well, my friend Chad works upstairs. I've known Chad for a long time. And every time I'm there, I mean, you got to take a shot if they offer one, you know? So I was getting ready to leave. I'm walking out, and Chad looks at me, walks into the bar, and slides a shot my way. I'm like, okay. Gonna finish strong here. But you know what? All in all, good day. Our Ohio State friends, they got a win over Illinois. They also covered the number, so that was good. Texas covered. Texas won. So I love doing that, but I already decided like it's gonna be a few weeks before I do that again. Like, good time, but also I can't do that every weekend.
Serious question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been offered a shot and said no? I feel like I know the answer to this.
No, yeah, there have been a few times. Like, every now and then, like, it'll be to the point where I'm like, okay, like, we just did one. You guys want to do another? I'm like, okay. Like, I got to draw the line here. I'm trying to be able to walk out of here. I'm not going to do that. So, I do actually, it was the only one I had all day. So, it was like, it's not like I've been pounding shots all day or something like that. But I was like, all right, I know, Chad. It's kind of like our bonding thing. Like, last week, I was like, we got to do a shot before you leave. I was like, okay, sure. But I'll, from time to time, I'll be like, I can't do this. But I was in good enough shape where I was like, I can do this and get out of here because I'm leaving. That kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess it's a small sample size because I had never seen it with my eyes. The times that I've been out with you,
those are special occasions.
There's never been a no in the picture.
Well, that's true. Well, also, if I get around people like Double D, I'm going to blame Double D. Anyone I get around
or
who
Sammy
is...
P.
Or Sam, oh God, Sammy P too. You've seen it. I mean, I can't say anything to you. But also, those are special occasions because everyone's so excited to get together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough because we never get to see each other. So when Sammy P comes over with literally an entire tray of shots, you're like, all right, well, if our boss is doing them, because like Andrew's doing shots, you don't want to be the loser that's like, well, I'm kind of watching what I drink. Until you fall down the stairs and break your collarbone. Maybe don't do that.
As always, we blame Ryan Horvath on this show. In the end, we just say, I think it was Horvath at the end. Well, the coaching equivalent of falling down the stairs and breaking your collarbone is James Franklin, what happened at Penn State this season. They lost to Northwestern over the weekend, 22-21, as a 20.5-point favorite. So this is a what a wild ride for Penn State. 17 days ago, this team was ranked in the top five. Think about that. Less than 3 weeks ago, you're in the top five. You've got Oregon coming in, game of the year, a game you've been preparing for. You've been preparing for this moment. You barely lose the game. All right, it's all right. You still have a chance later on the season. Then you go and you lose to UCLA and Northwestern in Happy Valley. So James Franklin is gone. Went 104-45 across 12 seasons. This is really what did him in. Against AP top 10 teams, 4-21. He went 1-18 against AP top 10 teams in the Big Ten. I'll tell you what. James Franklin losing his job midseason was not something I would have ever predicted. What I thought, okay, maybe they don't win those big games because he doesn't win big games. But this just, I mean, once they lost to Oregon, it feels like he just lost the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it did feel like you could lose that type of game and still come back from it, right? Like, that is your job as a head coach, is to right the ship when things go wrong, especially when you only lose in overtime. So this was one of those things where my first thought was, where's the New York Times article on James Franklin and calling him the biggest, you know, failure in college football? Because they did this to Arch Manning, but yet this was the team that was supposed to have the most talent of any team in the country. Jenks, the preseason rankings, it was all Penn State. They were saying, oh, all these guys came back and declined the NFL draft because they knew they were going to be playing for a championship. And now Drew Aller's out for the season as well. It just feels like the worst possible scenario. Like, how could this have gone worse? Like, maybe losing some of their first games of the season? I feel like this is the worst possible ending to what started as a great story for Penn State. It was supposed to be their year.
I'm just speechless. To go from this is the best team in James Franklin's tenure, this is the year when he possibly wins a national title, to James Franklin is out of a job, is remarkable. It just goes to show that Penn State was sort of on the edge of, hey, fine, you've been great for us to a point, but you better get it done this year. And the one thing you cannot do, you cannot drop a game to UCLA and come home and lose to Northwestern. Like, I get it. And I feel like, you know, a change had to be made here. I'm not someone who generally gets on board with firing a coach midseason, but it just feels like James Franklin took them as far as he could take them. Didn't put this in the chat, which is Kurt Cignetti has more top 10 wins in a month than James Franklin has had in 11 and a half years at Penn State. I mean, I'm kind of speechless. And this is a lost season now. So you've got an interim head coach in Terry Smith. Drew Aller is out for the year. And oh, by the way, the buyout for James Franklin is a little more than $48 million. So Penn State is moving in a new direction where they're going to pay for it.
Oh, absolutely. And also, it's the trickle-down effect, because I will say this, like, James Franklin is at least a good recruiter, but all those recruits that were committed to Penn State, it feels like they are leaving in a mass exodus, you know, because that's what happens when coaches are fired, because usually the commits are based on the head coach. So not only is Penn State losing this year, it feels like it's going to hurt them for the next few years as well.
The one thing they could do is, you know, they will be able to re-recruit some of these guys once they bring in a new head coach. At least they'll try. They
a
certainly
good head
will.
Coach.
Yeah. And so you'll have Matt Rhule or Kurt Cignetti or someone go back out and reach back out and say, hey, I'd like to meet you. Because a lot of these guys, of course, they...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former relationships, right? And that relationship is with the head coach. And you think, I want to play for you. Like, I want you to be the guy who brings me along. And once that guy leaves or is fired, then, well, then it's on to someone new. And a lot of these guys certainly don't want to hang on to a program where they don't know what the future is, which begs the question, what is the future for Penn State? Who are they going to go after? Matt Rhule seems to be the guy that gets tossed around a lot. And for a couple reasons. Number one, he's a Penn State alum. Number two, he has a history of taking programs who have, I mean, Penn State's a different animal, but, you know, went to Temple, went to Baylor, went to Nebraska, and has taken these programs and elevated those programs. And the thought here is that Penn State, okay, we need you to elevate us to that next level, which is winning against top 10 teams and bringing us a national title. I feel like he's going to be the favorite. I would also say that I would back up the Brinks truck and try to hire Cignetti, because what he's doing in Indiana is remarkable.
Right. Like, I feel like that's definitely the home run hire. Like, mm-hmm. if you had your pick of just about anybody who is in the college ranks, you can't ignore what Kurt Cignetti is doing with much fewer resources. Because that's the thing. What was Indiana before he got there? Absolute nothing burger. Like, people didn't even realize they had a football team. They're like, oh, this is a basketball school. And then he took them to a premier powerhouse program in the Big Ten, capping it off by, the timing feels extremely, you know, fortuitous in this one. The fact that they just went on the road and beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where he has built his own culture at Indiana. So you think to yourself, okay, if he can do this at Indiana, what can he do at Penn State with all these recruits and all of this pedigree?
Yeah, I think that that Indiana win was, I mean, the final straw was losing to Northwestern. There's no question about that. But then when you look up and you're like, wait a second, Indiana went on the road and beat Oregon? Are you kidding? Right. Indiana beat Oregon? Mm-hmm. We couldn't beat them at home. I know it's one game, but when you're talking about sort of a volatile situation anyway where people are on edge and then you lose that game and you look up and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. The Hoosiers? The Hoosiers are beating Oregon? That's it. Like, we're done here. We are done here. I mean, this is such a massive piece of news, and you sort of felt like it might be coming after UCLA. There was sort of some scuttlebutt that, you know what, Franklin now, you better pull it together quick. And so this was just the worst possible scenario for him. And I think the book is written on James Franklin, which is, this is a great program builder, great recruiter. But throughout his career, I mean, we have a massive sample size. We always talk about sample sizes, right? Like, and if they matter. You have a massive sample size where over the years, again and again and again and again, he has not been able to get it done. This is kind of who he is.
Well, and especially if you're coaching for one of those teams that believes it is a blue chip program. Because, like, this is fine if you coach for, like, I don't know, like Mississippi State or Vanderbilt, yeah. you know, for James Franklin back in the past. But it's not going to cut it if you're at one of the top programs, or at least they believe themselves to be, in college football. Because he did win a lot of games. Like, I saw some people going back and forth saying, like, he actually has some of the most wins of any, like, active college head coaches. But the thing is, it's like, Penn State's not trying to, like, just be a decent team. They want to be one of the best, and to be the best, you have to beat the best, and James Franklin couldn't do that. But Jinx, I was thinking to myself, how much do you think college football has changed in the fact that I feel like these guys who used to be labeled as really good recruiters but maybe not the mm-hmm. best head coaches, it feels like they could go pretty far before the days of NIL, because, you know, college football a lot is about talent. But now that it's about, it's still about talent, but it's about the money that you can pay the talent, mm-hmm. do you think it negates that skill for head coaches?
To a point. Recruiting is still recruiting. You still have to bring a guy in on a visit. You have to show him a good time. You have to make sure that you mm-hmm. say the right things, right? This is how we're going to deploy you in our scheme. You know, this is where we see you fitting in at our program. And a recruit has to like you. All of those things still matter. But let's not kid ourselves. At the end of the day, this is about money. But also it goes into, okay, how, as a coach, you can recruit well, but can you manage the portal? Can you manage the roster? Which means, okay, we have a finite amount of dollars here. There's this idea there's just infinite amounts of money. There is a lot of money, but certainly how are we going to allocate it? How are we going to allocate it this year versus next year? What about the guys on the roster that we need to keep versus guys maybe we're willing to let go? So recruiting still matters, but there's a whole subsection of recruiting that has opened up, which is portal management and money management, which is something that was not a thing, you know, 10 short years ago.
Right. And then my next question would be, what type of job do you think Penn State is to, you know, potential candidates? Do you think it is a top tier job?
Yes. Yes, it's a top 10 job. I mean, you can argue the particulars about, all right, top five. I mean, that argument really goes nowhere. But this is a top 10 job. They have the money, according to – I was worried about NIL money, but Denton made a good point, which is we're talking about an era now where private equity comes into play, and that's a ton of money. So when you think about atmosphere, when you think about tradition, there's no reason why – and this goes for a handful of programs across the country – there's no reason why you shouldn't be winning at a high level, winning titles. If you're talking about Penn State, they haven't won a national title since 1986. That's, I mean, my Longhorns, they haven't won a title since 2005. That's forever ago. And yet, you know, they have all the facilities available to them, all the faculties available, everything you need to win it all, and they haven't done it at the rate that you would expect. So I don't blame Penn State for sort of losing their minds here. It is time, long past time, the Lions won something of significance.
Right. If you're Kurt Cignetti, do you want to leave Indiana, though?
I don't think I would.
He's just crazy enough to think that he can legitimately turn Indiana into a powerhouse. To be like this generation's Bobby Bowden, taking little old Florida State and making them this massive thing. He's just crazy enough to think he can do the same thing with Indiana.
I think that's the right call, but I will say if Penn State comes in and gives you a hard sell and says, here's the money, yes, Indiana's great, but it's Happy Valley, it's the tradition of Penn State, it's a platform that you're going to get at very few schools in the country, Cignetti might stay at Indiana. I mean, what a story that would be if somehow he turned the Hoosiers, who have in my entire lifetime been one of the worst teams in college football. Like, you don't pay attention to Indiana, and now everyone's paying attention to Indiana. Like, that's... D-Day might be right here.
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, that is a tough program to turn into, like, this powerhouse and just up and leave. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
It is. I still feel like Rule's the guy, right? Because he's the Penn State alum, and that carries so much weight at particular programs. That'll be fascinating to watch. Coming up next year on the show, we're just getting warmed up and just in time to pick the most outstanding performance of the weekend. Our Monday MVP is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.